Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. Mother's Day, May 2009. Thank you for your fellowship today. And we have a passage of scripture to share, and it's Psalm 51. And, of course, it's a psalm of penitence, repentance by David for his gross indiscretions. And it says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your grace, loving kindness," often translated for grace. It's a pity. Many, of course, can't find grace in the Old Testament, but let me assure you, it was very, very visible in the lives of the servants of God. "According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me completely from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Isn't it a wonderful and joyous thing to know, Psalm 51 verse 2, that there is indeed a blessed assurance of that fact, that in Christ we have been cleansed completely, everything removed. Verse 3, "For I confess my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." I'm sure David, like us, was very aware of the times, the time he had disobeyed and disappointed the Lord, and I guess we and I do, you and I also, have the same memories at times that might haunt us a little. But the joy for us is not in the scars or the wounds that heal over time, but the fact that in God's eyes they don't exist. Verse 4 of Psalm 51, "Against you, you are only, have I sinned and done evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge." I think that's quoted by the Apostle Paul, don't you? And verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Not that his mother was a wicked person, of course, but that we, from the natural line, are descendants of Adam and have a legacy of sin and death. There isn't one of humankind that does not die, save the great exception, of course, of the Lord, and we can't feature him precisely at this point. Verse 6, "Behold, you desire," and here we come in our subject today of what are spiritual sacrifices. "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." This verse 7 of Psalm 51 reminds us of the reasoning appeal by God in Isaiah chapter 1. "Though your sins be as scarlet," you see. It's a wonderful passage, Isaiah 1, the prophet calling upon Israel to turn back to the Lord. Psalm 51, verse 8. David continues, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice." And here's true joy, isn't it? You know, it's not in happenings and circumstances, but it's in the joy that comes from knowing the forgiveness of our God and the assurance of his love and his grace in our lives. Psalm 51 verse 9, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." Praise God, that has been done. As far as the east is from the west, so he has forgotten, hasn't he? We have been presented, forgiven. We have redemption through his blood, Ephesians 1:7, don't we? And the forgiveness of trespasses. We have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, Colossians says. And what a joy it is to know that today, in this age of grace, we have been presented holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. One of the great dispensational differences. And what a joy it is to know the peace that assurance of that word brings. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." It's the inward man that is so important to God, as we shall find, as we look at what are sacrifices and praises and spiritual offerings. But of course, when David was writing, there was indeed a living under a kingdom dispensation. He could rightfully say, "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." Verse 11 of Psalm 51. You are aware that David said that the Holy Ghost spake by his tongue. David knew that he was writing scripture and prophecy. All we need to do to affirm that is read Acts chapter 2, where David foreknew and saw things, as Peter declares in that chapter. So verse 11, cast me not away. Psalm 51 verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Ah, you see, the joy, the peace, and uphold me with a willing spirit. David goes on to say, then I will teach transgressors your way, in verse 13, or ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Certainly, when we have a clean conscience and a heart that is right and leaning to God and trusting in Him, certainly we are very available and ready to be used, aren't we? Deliver me from the guilt of shedding blood, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Verse 15. O Jehovah, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. With those removals of iniquity in David's life, he's then ready to bring forth from the heart, from the inner man, such praises and such songs, which are really what God is seeking. Those things which come from that heart that has been cleansed and that is focused towards Him for the grace received. For you do not desire sacrifice, verse 16 goes on to say, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. It's amazing, isn't it? You do not delight in burnt offering. You'll find that comes in Hebrews 10. Verse 17 goes on to say, the sacrifices of God, or the sacrifices that are rightfully belonging to Him, are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Now, of course, this psalm set in Israel and in the, as I said, the administration of the kingdom and all that the looks forward to. Psalm 51, 18 goes on to say, do good in your good pleasure to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. Here, even in Israel, my friends, you can see that the sacrifices that God really looks forward to are those of a contrite heart, those from the heart and mind of an individual that is cleansed and turning towards and focusing on the God of all grace. Verse 19, then shall you be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. You see, friends, the heart first for Israel, then the offerings. But the sacrifices, David said, that God looked forward to were the sacrifices of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Yes, as I have mentioned on numerous occasions, God did not command an individual Israelite to bring a sacrifice, but if he did, he had to do it a certain way. And thus, in obedience, he showed forth that his heart was in the right place, if we can use that expression, that he was ready to bring something willingly and freely, no obligation. And friends, to conclude this little pre-prayer introduction, do you know there's a great verse in Ephesians chapter 4 which is perfectly in harmony with this, and I want to share it with you. Paul says, look, verse 1, as Ephesians now moves on into the great practical side, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, says the Apostle Paul, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. You see, there isn't an obligation, is there, in our walk? You and I can choose. You and I can make a decision as to what we're going to do in the light of the grace of God that has been so richly bestowed upon us through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so Paul beseeches that we walk worthy. And notice in verse 2, with all lowliness of mind, humility of mind, and meekness, these are the things that come first. Long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And I pray this morning as we go through this little study together, that will be our attitude of heart and mind, that we will respond to the love of our God towards us, the great love as Ephesians 2 says, and that we will walk to the best of our ability in that area that God has directed us with all lowliness and meekness. And may we do it all to the praise and the glory of his grace. Heavenly Father, we bless you this morning for this opportunity to be with you and to, with each other, to be rejoicing in you and who you are, your being and your ways. Who is like unto thee? We give you thanks and praise and joy, a Father, for the love and the grace which you have exhibited to all from the beginning. For indeed, before the foundation of the world, your Son was foreordained a lamb, an offering, a sacrifice. He offered himself without spot to you, fully surrendered in all humility and obedience, subjected to your will, all the way not only to a death, but the inglorious death and humiliating death of the cross. And you, of course, Father, have rightly exalted him, and thus we turn to your Son and acknowledge him as God this morning and bless him and praise him too. Father, for each other this morning we just consider Elaine and Kenneth and Massachusetts and all that they do there. Bless them each and every one, their family, this Mother's Day. May there be some happy times in family. For Nicholas and Danielle, we thank you for their lives. And Father, pray that you'll continue to guide them and take them forward in the truth. And Father, assist them to know, Father, the joy of the knowledge of your will for all of us today. For Julie, Father, and her family, we pray for those things which are of a concern to her, particularly Emily and her pregnancy and her husband's unemployment. Those things are heavily on her mind, of course, and we bring those before you. For Donna, her family, her sphere of influence, we pray, Father, that you'll continue to grant her a wise and a revealing spirit in the knowledge of your Son, in her relationships, in all that she does, and the truth that she shares. Thank you for her strength and all that she has endured as she stands for the right division of Scripture. For Ed and his wife and children and grandchildren, for his ministry in cyberspace, his Bell Talk rooms, thank you, Father, for his strength and his encouragement. And for Dale, of course, we thank you for him, Father, and pray that you'll continue to guide him too and give him confidence in the Word as he goes forward. And Father, for all of those that drive through this Pal Talk room this morning, and for those who ultimately might listen to this audio, we bless each and every one of them, we speak well of them, and we praise you for all that they are in Christ. We thank you for the grace that indeed has put our feet upon a rock, as the psalmist says, and what joy we have in him today. Father, all for the past, we leave it. We thank you for it and for bringing us through it and being with us in difficult times and good. And we look forward thus with confidence to today, dedicating just this one day to you and hoping, Father, that our sacrifices of praise and worship to you and these offerings of thanksgiving in this prayer will indeed, Father, be seen by you, heard by you, and used by you according to your will in all things. Now, Father, we think finally of Kevin, the guy in the room whose wife is ill, whose son committed suicide. And, Father, we just ask for particular strength for him. For Roz Jean, a friend of mine on cyberspace, and the illness in her family, give her strength today and joy in Mother's Day. We thank you for her faith And thus we bless you and look forward to some scriptures today. And may, Father, the word speak to each and every one of us. And we, like you, hold it above our own names and our own lives. For it and it alone is the final arbiter of our faith and practice. And of course, Father, the only place where we can read and see you and your purposes. And thus we bless you through your Son and bring these offerings and requests. To him be the glory. Amen. Well, friends, I'm just so thankful to share with each and every one of you today. And I'm going to go right back to Hebrews, having left, left Psalm 51, and come to a verse of Scripture that gives us an idea of what are spiritual sacrifices. Of course, Hebrews, written by, we believe, the Apostle Paul to the Hebrew communities during the Acts period. He says in verse 13 of the 13th chapter, "Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." Well, I believe this particular hope was set aside at Acts 28. I don't believe that Christians today are looking for the heavenly city, which is featured in Hebrews chapter 12. Nevertheless, hope is hope, and we can rejoice in the different hopes that people hold and embrace. "Therefore we go forth," says Paul to the Hebrews, "to him outside the camp, seeking the one to come, as Abraham did," remember, in chapter 11 of Hebrews. In other words, identified with Christ as the one who is rejected and holding the hope which was very firmly in their hearts and minds back then in the Acts period. "By him," verse 15 goes on to say, "then," yes, it's through him and by him, isn't it? Christ our mediator, the one through whom we are, of course, raised and seated in heavenly places, and from the front of our God's face, by and through Christ, we then offer, and here's something fundamental, the sacrifice of praise to him continually. That is, to make sure we all understand, the fruit of our lips confessing his name. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Paul writing to Hebrews, who were believing in Jesus of Nazareth, who was, of course, rejected by the majority of the nation of Israel at that time. He was rejected in the Gospels, and of course he was rejected constantly right through the book of Acts, wasn't he? And here Paul is encouraging these Hebrew believers to offer the sacrifice of praise. There you see the word sacrifice used not with the shed blood of an animal. That was, of course, fulfilled in Christ's offering. All those sacrifices of the Old Testament were fulfilled in our Lord, weren't they? We, as believers, can likewise today offer the sacrifice of praise to him continually. No wonder the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians where he said, "Let the word of God dwell in you richly, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord." The sacrifice of praise can be appropriate today as it was back then. Isn't it right and proper that we should bring these praises to our God? And for those of you who love enjoying spiritual songs and Christian songs, please, friends, continue to enjoy them. While some of them may not be dispensationally correct, don't forget that these are, in fact, the offerings of praise and have a place. And praise God that we do know when they sing about things that are not specifically concerning the church, which is his body. However, I continue in Hebrews 13 to verse 16, and I see that it goes on to say, "But do not forget to do good and to share." Look at the writer. "For with such sacrifices God is well pleased." The sacrifice of doing good and sharing. Again, these are not sacrifices associated with blood, are they? They're sacrifices that you and I can do on a daily basis to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And since we have been in our Pal Talk room looking at Philippians, I'm now going to go straight there to Philippians chapter 4. And I'm sure you remember the gift that was brought to Paul in prison by Epaphroditus. And we find it in Philippians 4 verse 18, where Paul says, "But I have all and abound. I have been filled, received from Epaphroditus the things which you sent, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God." Isn't that wonderful? Here's the apostle writing after the close of the Acts period, and yet still speaking, as he did in Hebrews, still speaking about a gift and doing good as something which is a sacrifice and well-pleasing to God. And you see, friends, the parallel? In Psalm 51, David said, "Look, it's a contrite heart. I can offer the blood of bulls of goat when my heart is right." And here, of course, is a sacrifice in Philippians 4, which is not a blood offering, but it's from a heart that is full of joy and thanksgiving to God. And thus, the offering, and as many commentators have observed, it couldn't have been very large that Epaphroditus brought, but it was something that was a sacrifice and well-pleasing to God. Now I'd like to go right back in the Old Testament and just get some thoughts about these spiritual sacrifices. And I'll be brief today, and I welcome all of those that have since joined our room. And I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 3. I will not be focusing at all on the original language, all the teaching that is so richly embedded in the words that the Holy Ghost has used. And we come simply to Exodus 3:18 and notice something, a little point here for us all. Now, I believe Moses is writing here about sacrifices. Yes, these are blood offerings. Exodus 3:18, "And they shall listen to your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, 'The Lord our God, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us, and now let us go, we beseech you, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God.'" You know, friends, the point I simply want to make in this verse is that offerings and worship and service implies a separation from the world and all that it has. Yes, indeed, it's a place was appointed for Israel, wasn't it? That tabernacle in the wilderness and the temple in Mount Zion. But you see, for us, there's this great separation away from the things of the world, to come apart and to rest a while and to pray as the Lord did. These are the sacrifices, separated from the world and dedicated to our Heavenly Father. That's a great thought, isn't it, when we bring the sacrifices of our lips and the offerings of our heart, separation to Him. I want to now bring a thought from Leviticus, chapters 1 through 6, bring about, of course, a great emphasis on atonement or access. And of course, the first offering offered in Leviticus was the great whole burnt offering or holocaust. The skin of the animal flayed, and the whole of that offering was baptized in water. Remember that? It was washed. Not to cleanse it, but to show that in fact it was clean. For those of you who want to wonder why the Saviour was water baptised, that's one aspect. He was the whole burnt offering, of course. But I'm featuring a Leviticus chapter 3 verse 1 today. And if his offering is a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offers from the herd, whether it is a male or a female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. It surprises some Christians to realize that a female animal could be used in the Levitical offerings, but here it certainly can be. Now, I'm featuring the peace offering today because if you would read through the rest of this chapter of Leviticus regarding this peace offering, you'll find that it was consumed by three. A part of it was offered on the altar, thus consumed by God, and he participated in the peace offering. The priest in the temple also took home part of this peace offering. He likewise consumed of this offering. And of course, the offerer with joy took part of this offering back home to his family, and he and his family consumed part of the peace offering as well. And thus this morning, when we were considering sacrifices of our lips and spiritual sacrifices, I did want to feature just a little on the joy of offering them. That yes, we bring praises to our God, who sent his only begotten Son. We bring the sacrifices and praises through the one who made it all possible, that is our Saviour, the one mediator between God and man. We rejoice in him, don't we, as we bring these sacrifices? And of course, we have joy ourselves in offering them, don't we? And thus we have this wonderful three-way participation, just as the ancient offerer in Israel had a three-way participation. So do we when we bring the sacrifices of our heart expressed through our lips. 1 Samuel 15, I think, is an anticipation of Psalm 51, but we will read it just to refresh our memory, since Psalm 51 has faded to the top of the lesson, and if your memory's like mine, we can't remember all of it. So here is Samuel speaking to Saul, and he is telling Saul, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to listen is better than the fat of rams. It's wonderful, isn't it, from this great passage here, that we can take to our mind, when we bring our sacrifices of the heart and our lips to him, that it's also an opportunity, when we have been removed from the world, to hear him. As we praise him, as we meditate upon his word, as we have separated ourselves from the hustle bustle of the world, thus he can speak to us. To listen, obviously to hear the word of the Lord. In obedience and submission and hearing and praises offered, do we find that the word of Christ dwelling in us is opened up to us. And I have experienced this in my own life, and I'm sure you have too. When, in the lowest point of my life, I was simply depressed and suppressed and rejected by people, even my own Acts 28 fellowship, I was lying on a mattress alone in a rental property. You've heard this story, some of you. And I decided, I had been focusing on my Lord. There was no loss of faith and no loss of praise to him. Circumstances were just not good. And I placed in that audio, a Bible study. And I was there giving him thanks and praise for my circumstances and listening to an audio that I could practically recite verbatim off the top of my head. I knew all the scriptures, but that didn't make any difference. You see, friends, the scriptures to us bring forth the path that we should take. Right, division, of course, essential. The scriptures, and to listen to them, is better than the fat of rams. And as I listened to someone I knew a long time ago, you see, there was an opportunity to hear something. And a difficult subject for me, which was obscured and I had prayed about 25 years earlier, as you know, became clear to me, and pieces of Scripture all fell into place. So what a joy it is to know that obey Him and to listen, to let that Word of Christ dwell in us richly, brings to us that refreshment and that opening and widening of understanding. You know, don't you, as well as I, that we have folks who come into our rooms and they say, oh, look, I want to be touched by God. I want to feel the refreshment. I want to get the zeal back, and I want to be lifted up again. And what do we tell them to do? We say, open the Word and give thanks and praise to Him and pray for others. These are the sacrifices that bring about an environment of separation from the issues where God can speak to us. And that's the refreshment they're looking for, isn't it? We must never, my friends, let the world press in on us so much as to not take time to separate, as Moses was told to say to Pharaoh. We need to go 3 days' journey. Well, you can do it in your lounge room. We can do it, friends, in the hustle of bustle of the shop, can't we? We can pause and say, Lord, bless you for today. And we can take time at home and say, well, I'm going to take 5 minutes, Father, and I'm just going to bless you. I'm going to turn my heart and mind to you. I'm going to forget about life's disappointments. I am going to forget about the Congress of America, the state of the economy, the pharaohs of the world who do things and dictate, and we know they are under the control of the prince of the power of the air. We can't change circumstances, but we can obey. We can walk worthy of our calling to the best of our ability. And in these moments, we listen and our ear is opened and we can hear. Where shall we go now? Let's go back to the Psalms, why not? And have a look at a psalm that particularly helped me this week in a difficult circumstance for me. You might think, oh, you know, Brian's the teacher and he has a pal talk room 3 nights a week and or 3 times a week, and he sends out email lessons, and his life must be just so smooth and wonderful. Wouldn't I want to be like him? Well, friends, you didn't want to experience what I experienced this week, let me tell you. But I think this psalm was very encouraging for me, particularly. I want to read a few verses from it. Verse 4. One thing I have desired from the Lord, says David. Psalm 27. This is David's desire, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to pray in his temple. You know, David had some difficulties, didn't he? And he sought the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord all the days of his life and to behold the beauty. And you know, there's a hope expressed here, and I certainly believe that the scriptures are clear. David will be resurrected and in fact be a co-regent with Christ during the great reign of Christ on the earth. Pardon me, and this desire will be met and will be satisfied. And you know, friends, we have a desire, don't we, to dwell with the Lord? And the parallel must be drawn that there's coming a great day of glory, that great appearing of our Lord in heavenly places, as we find in Colossians chapter 3, 1-4. And we're going to be in that inheritance, friends. Aren't you looking forward to that? Live each day looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing. I am. And like David, our hope is maybe not the same, but the principle is the same, isn't it? For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his shelter. In the secrecy of the tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And I referred to that earlier, didn't I? And I shall be lifted up above my enemies, he goes on to say in verse 6, my encirclers. Reminds you of Psalm 22 and the Lord's subjection as they circled around like ravening wolves and bulls of Bashan and shaking their head at him, poking out the tongue and so forth and so on. So David says in verse 6 of Psalm 27, and my head shall be lifted up, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. What a contrast. There's his enemies in verse 6, all around him, and he is going to offer sacrifices of joy. You say, I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. So today, on this Mother's Day, make sure there's some space for singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Now, down the bottom of this Psalm 27, verse 3, I want to bring out a beaut verse here. It's just an amazing little verse. I would have fainted, says David, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We need to go very slowly with this verse. Isn't it wonderful? Here it is again. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You see, friends, in his circumstances, he had not seen yet the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He believed he would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And again, I believe that's in harmony with the earlier verses, that David had a hope. And it's the hope which strengthens us. Hope, the Hebrew writer says, is an anchor. You see, friends, how important it is to know our hope today. Right division, you know, is, of course, frowned upon and is a reproach in the wider Christian community. But it's right division that helps you and me to know the hope that belongs to us. And when we know it, doesn't it fill our hearts with joy to know that hope, that when Christ appears, when he's manifested, when he's revealed, we're going to be revealed with him. And that prevents us from fainting. It's that which gives us the strength. And so, friends, in our praises and the sacrifices of our lips, yes, let's rejoice in what is appropriate for us as well. You see? Let's do that. It is the greatest antidote to weariness that you can find in the Word of God. Well, perhaps I should have just quoted Psalm 27, verse 14. There I am, the next verse. It was all said for me, wasn't it? The Word of God speaks far more eloquently than anyone who steps forward in humility to teach anything. Verse 14, hope in the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall make your heart strong. Yes, says David, hope, or as the King James Version says wait, in the Lord. And that, my friends, this Mother's Day, I believe, is probably the best message I can bring for all of us, whether we're a mum or a dad. Hope in the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall make our hearts strong. And from those strengthened hearts, we can bring forth the praise and the honour and the glory to our God of grace and love, through the one who came and lived and loved and made it all possible. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed each and every one of us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. To him be honor and glory forever, and to all the generations of the age of the ages. Amen. Thank you, Father, for today, this great, glorious opportunity. Who is like unto thee? We thank you thus for the privilege of knowing you. Father, we thank you for your Son, who certainly brought us out of the miry clay and set us upon a rock. To him we offer praise and blessing this morning. And to each and every one, Father, who is in this room and listening to this message, we give you thanks for each life thus represented. And we ask, Father, that each and every one of us, whether our enemies are encircling us, we'll continue to bring forth praises and honour to you through the one who made it all possible. Thus we bless you, thus we praise you through him. Amen.